The following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Anyone can say they're the best, and it's not easy being the best. Get in and see why Wizards is the best. Gifts and smoking accessories are on sale right now at reduced prices, including a large selection of Woodwick candles, vaporizers from Puff King, Grenco, Wolf, and Stealth Hybrid, shirts, hats, and adult novelty gifts. Say Radio Memphis and get an additional 20% off at checkout. 15 minutes from West Memphis, 1999 Madison Avenue in the heart of Midtown. Online at wizardsmemphis.com. Open every day. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 years of age or older to purchase smoking-related items. Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, aloha, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. Episode 163 is upon us here. I've been catching up with my notes. You can hear me playing with paper, making noise, doing the true professional broadcasting thing that I do. Yeah, that's a joke. Well, I'm a professional broadcaster, by God. I've been in this business long enough that I can sit here and poke fun at myself and my abilities. Those of you that sit there and go, oh, you're not an actual pro, you're doing a podcast. Come work with me every day. Yeah, let's come crawl inside my head every day. See some of the things that I see. Hear the stories that I hear. Keeping my ear to the stethoscope that is onto the pulse of the entertainment industry. And I'm not talking movies. That's a whole different deal. What I'm talking about here is the end of it that I actually have some experience in. And that is television and radio. And as such, this news came across my desk earlier, and it came through some the usual places that I frequent. Reading about the way the AM and FM world is ticking. We'll get to TV here in just a little while, but this little blurb from Chattanooga, Tennessee, up the road here from Memphis. Benz Stations, B-E-N-N-S, Benz Stations. Owns a radio station, Southern Gospel Outfit, WFLI AM. It was at one point one of the biggest top 40 stations in town. Their whole thing, they were spinning the hits as Jetfly, according to some of the things I'm looking at here. They signed on 10,000 watts February 1961. Big deal. You know, people are going, well, never heard of them. And you know what? There's a lot of people that haven't still. I mentioned WFLIAM. Jetfly. Baby. They were a top 40 station for some, what does their statement say? How long? Well, they've been broadcasting for 56 years. And they were top 40 for most of that. From 61 to 1980. They had, you know, the usual slate of DJs that were spinning the hits for you. And well, anyway, I mentioned this. Hang on a second. 1979, FM was becoming popular. Top 40 moved over to the FM side, and their AM station became, quote, Mid-South's most popular AM gospel station, which is what it is now. It's a gospel station. It's what they call Southern gospel music format. Licensed to Lookout Mountain, Tennessee, USA. Station serves the Chattanooga, Tennessee area. It is signing off the air permanently at the end of March, March 31st, 2017. So depending on when you are consuming this show, it may not have happened, or it is. It has happened. Chances are it has happened. It's unfortunate, really, in a way. The idea that a radio station is beginning, and we're starting to see this a little bit more and more. This station just they're throwing it in. They're saying we're done. Bye-bye. AM 1070 is now a free and open signal. They're turning it back over to the FCC. They're shutting it down. And some of the comments that were tied to the story that I saw were there was only three of them. one of them, which was like, oh, this is so sad. If I had the money, I'd buy it. You could almost do it. But as somebody had pointed out, it's not like there are a lot of people lining up around the block to purchase an AM signal. It's 1,000 watts by day, 10,000 by 10,000 by day, 1,000 by night. And they just, you know, they've had their run, nearly 60 years of pulling it off, and it's going dark. Their post on Facebook, after more than 56 years of broadcasting, WFLI 1070 AM radio will go off the air March 31st, 2017. We sincerely appreciate our listeners, employees, and clients for their support. That post was made on March the 22nd. And since then, it has 8 comments. That's kind of sad, really. That it had been going all this time and nobody really gave, you know, 2 hoots and a holler about it. And such as it is. It is sad, but, you know, sign of the times. They flat out admit it. They're unable to compete with the digital world and the myriad choices that exist out there for listeners and the people that have what they have at their fingertips. Which brings me to what I really wanted to get into. By the way, hats off to WFLI and all of your staff. Hope the beach is kind to you. What I wanted to get into, and I was hinting at this, of course, last week, I had spent a little time convalescing, if you will. I had been under the weather and had a couple of days where I was able to soak up some television, soak up some network television. No, I don't have cable. Thanks for asking. I do have streaming television, but I also have an antenna that allows me to pull in, you know, network television. And typically when I'm, you know, going to be kind of, you know, laying there on the couch, maybe awake, maybe not, I don't want to sleep through something that I've got pulled up on demand, because I'm going to have to go back and watch it anyway. So I tend to, you know, not sleep through on-demand stuff. But I'll let the live thing happen. And I was watching a television network, one of the alphabets. I believe it was CBS. And I found myself stuck in a weird groove of their sitcoms. It was during primetime. And I'm laying there watching this horrendous display of television. And I mean horrendous. I couldn't believe how bad it was. I was like, well, it's been a while since I'd sat down and watched network-style sitcoms. The stuff that we'd all had. That we pretty much all grew up with. They've been around since the 60s for sure. A lot of good stuff in those old days. A lot of good stuff in the common day too. There's a few shows that are watchable now, but those seem few and far between. And it begs the question, has television really got that bad? Yes and no. There's a two-edged sword to this. And I'll explain. You see, the shows that I were watching, they were so unremarkable, I couldn't even tell you the names of the show, because they give the shows these names now that have nothing to do with the content. And when you are watching these things, you know, at least from my point of view, I look at them rather critically. You kind of have to. You look for, okay, how's the writing in this? How's the pacing? How are the setups? How are the punchlines? Is everything working? Is, you know, you got a good troupe of actors? Are they doing their job? You know, you watch for that kind of stuff.
What makes you an expert, man?
I'm not an expert, but I've been in the business, you see. And I know what works and I know what doesn't work. Seen a lot of bad shows that just failed. Seen a lot of bad shows that took off and stayed on for a while. Also saw a lot of really, really good television. There was some great stuff. And you can sit there and say, and argue this point probably rather succinctly, that about the time that cable television became really pretty accessible and was a thing, you could argue that the quality of network television sitcoms turned to garbage. It's an easy argument to make. It was as if everybody sort of quit, you know, doing their thing. They just kind of quit writing. They were just phoning it in. They got bottom of the barrel actors who don't really care. They just wanted their shot at it. But that's not true. No, I think what happened when cable television came around, cable was offering a wider selection and usually of slightly higher quality. Network television, the alphabets, they have always maintained a certain level of, I guess, quality in their content. You know, and there's hits and there's misses. There's about, what, a 10-15% chance of a show that gets picked up for a pilot will carry through to an actual series. You don't see so much of that nowadays because those rates are going up and up. But what you are seeing is an absolute, I don't know, I guess because the network guys are so much holding on to what they felt worked back in the 70s and 80s and to a certain extent the 90s that they don't want to let that go. They don't want to adapt to things. It makes it difficult for them to adapt and be different. Hence those shows that I were watching. Granted, they're targeting a family-oriented audience, which is fine. I was looking at that through that filter. It still did not negate the fact that the show sucked. Several of the shows. One of them was, what's the name of it? Two Broke Girls. That show has been on the air for a long time, and I watched. I think that night they had a couple of episodes back-to-back there, and it was horrendous. It was stupid. It wasn't even funny. It was hackneyed, and it was just garbage. Well, as it turns out, that hackneyed, pretentious, bad television existed back in those days that I was speaking of earlier when you had the old, remember the old must-see TV, which did live up to its name. There was great stuff in there. But there was a lot of garbage that surrounded it, too. I mean, let's be fair. But with cable television comes a wider palette of shows. And with that, you get a little bit more depth in the content that's available to you, the consumer. And the problem would be to try and compete with that. You don't change your model because it always worked for us. You know, the Seinfeld gang gave us a hit for 9 years and we're just going to stick with this model. The fact of the matter is this. If that show just magically decided to come back onto the air using the exact same formula that they did back in the day, it wouldn't do as well. I mean, just a little bit of thought would probably, you know, hint that to you. There'd be a nostalgia factor that would go with it. But even if you took a little bit of that away, even with the same writers in it, it just still wouldn't feel right. It wouldn't, because it sat in its time at a perfect moment. It was when, in essence, the stars aligned and the gods of television looked down and smiled and boom, there was a hit. And that's kind of how it was. And that's part of the magic of the whole thing behind television. But there were things around it. There were, you know, when you had that primetime set of programming from this time to beyond your late news, there was a sense of comfort that came with that. There was a sense of reliability because that's what you had. And I'm talking pre-cable. It was
the pre-cable times when the dinosaurs roamed the earth.
There was a sense of familiarity. There was a sense of somewhat family, if you will. Because from that time, roughly 7 to 7:30 p.m., all the way through the late local news and into your late night programming, there was that sense that channel perhaps would be your companion through your evening, through dinner, through the kids doing homework, through phone calls with the friends that happened sometimes during the brief little phone calls, the quick checkups and stuff like that. The cleaning of the kitchen after dinner, not that that ever happens anymore, or those that have been gathered around a dining room table, which I don't even know that happens anymore. That whole nuclear family ideal and that the television was just invited in as part of that. That was the way they thought back then. Of course, now it's, you know, that's gone completely out the window. But for some reason, network television never let go of that. They just maintained that thought that this is what was so important and that this was so critical to their success. As it turns out, it's becoming part of their undoing. Now, you could probably sit there and name, you know, especially if you're into these shows, if you're into the primetime network television scene, you probably have your shows that you watch and that you probably have an affinity to, that you're very close to. For the most part, though, I'm willing to bet that out of, you know, the, I don't know, however many people that are listening to the show, 300,000 people say, maybe less than a sixth of you would do that. Most of you are consuming Netflix, which is now their Netflix subscriber rate has surpassed all of cable television subscribers. That just came out back in early March. That's a bone-rattling statistic, isn't it? More people have a paid subscription to Netflix than have a paid subscription to cable. The tide has shifted. The tipping point has occurred. And yet network television still hangs on, and thus they will, because they broadcast over the air. And digital antennas doing what they do, they give you a great signal in the house. I don't have a problem with them. It's just their content sucks. And it's even permeated all the way down into late night television, which has turned into really kind of a sad shell of what that used to be. You know, the king of late night. People in my age group would know that was Johnny Carson I was speaking of. And that was a great thing. However, one of the nostalgic channels runs The Tonight Show every weeknight at the old time slot. And it's rough. It's rough to watch it. Even those old shows, they were designed to air and be consumed and then be forgotten. In their recorded playback, years and years later, they don't hold up. And for obvious reason, the jokes were meant to be in the moment. The people they were talking to were people that were doing something in the moment, that they had something relevant to speak of at that time. So when you're sitting there watching a show from 1986 and you're trying to kind of, you know, it's like, oh man, this is, you sit there and you realize, oh Lord, have mercy. We've come so far and yet kind of not. So fast forward a few more years, David Letterman stays on, becomes, I guess, his successor to the king of late night. And he hangs on as long as he felt necessary and ducked out at a respectable time. Nothing wrong with that. You got to do that. If that's what you choose to do, it's your show, you go on. But then ever since then, those shows have, I'm talking about the late night genre, have turned into mere shells of what they were. Stephen Colbert took a while, but is now the solid number one show on late night, beating Jimmy Fallon's Tonight Show. Because I've watched some of Jimmy Fallon, and he's all right, I guess. You know, it's that type of what he's done with the show is not my thing. Of course, I'm not in the target demo either. Jimmy Kimmel over at ABC does a fine job. There's some aspects to a show that I really, really enjoy. Stephen Colbert, sort of the same way. I like what he does. I appreciate the talent that they put in, the effort that goes into the show. But it still just doesn't have that familiarity to it. It still doesn't feel like I'm inviting these shows into my home so much as they're just kicking the front door in and making themselves at home. And I think that's a big difference, because with on-demand television, with streaming television, we have that ability. We invite them in at our time. Okay, Game of Thrones, we're ready for you now. House of Cards, you're up next. We choose now, and because of that, we've become spoiled. And that's not a bad thing. And I do find, even with streaming television, that I don't watch nearly as much television as I used to. I mean, I have my favorites. I have those shows. So, you know, I watch a lot of what you people watch. And, you know, the wife and I will find a movie that we missed, and we'll catch up with that. Or some documentaries. There's all sorts of fun stuff out there. God, I sound like an old geezer now. Oh, there's documentaries about people carrying rocks in their pockets, so I got to watch it. It's what it is. It's tailor-made television for all of us, you know. And, of course, you got your sports programming and stuff. We'll watch a little bit of that. You know, that's us. You have yours. I have mine. Your neighbor has theirs. Gone are the days when you would go to your job, assuming you'd have one, and stand around the water cooler, assuming the corporation you work for had one, and you would say, hey, did you happen to watch blah, blah last night? Oh, no, what did I miss? Oh, my God, you blah, 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 blah. Yeah, those conversations don't exist anymore, at least not in that form. More of like, hey, have you seen this show? It's on Netflix. If you haven't, I'll shut up now. I'll give you a chance to watch it. We'll talk next time. That kind of thing. But even then, you don't hear that much of a discussion, because it just spills over into social media. Because Facebook has now taken away the idea of being face-to-face. And because of all of this world, we seem to be more connected, but at the same time, we've become very disconnected socially and on our entertainment. Because television was this thing, see, It's not that I'm, you know, yeah, I may wax a little nostalgic here and think about this for a moment because it does make some sense. But there was a time when television was there for us. It was the great babysitter. To some of you people, it probably still is. But there was that bit of familiarity where we could sit down and enjoy this show, then this one, and then this one, and this one, and we can get, this may not be the one for my sister, but my brother loves this one, and we'll all sit around and we do this, and we just have our time with our TV, and it's family time, even though we're not talking to each other, at least we're spending some time together as a family. And it became comforting, and then the kids went on and did their own thing while mom and dad watched the news. And then after the news became the late night thing, when you had the old guy that was going to tell some jokes and have old movie stars come out and tell some stories about their days in front of the camera. It became so good. There was a thing about that. It seemed kind of magical, even though we just didn't realize it at the time. The stuff that we were watching was still pretty bad, but it was so bad it was good. And it was still good because we didn't know any better. And my question has always been, what the hell happened to television? You used to be there. You used to be so good. We used to like to invite you in. But now you've kicked in the door and you're forcing your way into our homes with this stuff that we just, it's garbage. It's God, you used to be so good, but now, holy shit, you suck. Keep up with the times, is all I'm saying. Coming from a person inside the industry, it's easy for those of you that may still be, like, I don't know, there may be some of you that work in the industry and that are sitting there and probably listening to this and probably shaking your head, rolling your eyes, or have turned this off completely. But those of you who have made it this far, thank you. But here's the point. The point that I'm really trying to make here is that it's not that much of a leap at all to expand your creativity some and perhaps step outside the box. I know you've got corporate rules that you must live by, but the thing about corporate rules is they're meant to be bent. They are meant to be shoved. And if you can break them, break them. Show some, you know, some affinity to the product that you're working with. Show some gumption to get behind it. Show some enthusiasm in the stuff that's being produced, because this audience is sitting here going, the fuck is this? Big Bang Theory is the number one show on television. I have seen a grand total of 1.5 episodes, and I can tell you that it's good. However, it's good in comparison to the other things that are on network television. Outside of that, outside of the alphabet television, I don't think that show is that good. Because there are better things on television. They would have a larger audience. I would be probably part of it if that were the case. But I have more options. I have other things I would rather watch. Time being the precious commodity that we all have so few of, so little of, we are forced to make decisions. And I would rather be in a position to make a decision that may or may not affect your show. And it has nothing to do whether I'm in the demo or not of that show. I get it. I thoroughly understood it. It's an entertaining enough show. Is it the greatest thing on TV? No, it's not. In fact, I'd be hard-pressed to tell you what was, to be honest with you. I mean, there's some stuff that's out there, mind you, but still. It is crazy. We've gotten to the point where a YouTube video that pulls in 12 to 15 million views, that's a viral video. All right, I want to do the numbers here with you. This is rounded off, 15 million views. If a television show back in the day, like a Seinfeld, had 15 million viewers, they'd be scratching their heads going, you guys are not really pulling in the numbers we'd hoped. You know, 300 million Americans. There's a lot of TVs that are out there and a limited number of choices. Nowadays, if you have 15 million viewers on your network television show, you're a fucking god. That's what you are. You are a show among shows. You are studly. There will be people that will watch you for the rest of your days. That shows you the shift. That shows you how this industry has turned around. And as you, the consumer, now I'm speaking to you people, it may not make much sense to you, but that's how that works. Because in this world now, if you find a program that you like somewhere in the vast world of the, whether it's the internet or cable or satellite or whatever the hell it is that you grab your stuff, and you hang on to it and you watch it and you enjoy it, then that's good. Because eventually it's going to get to a point where, thanks to the magic of streaming television, which is internet-based, you will be in a position to be thinking of a show that you used to really like and you wondered what was happening, and you'll be able to think about it, conjure it up on your device, and watch it, and watch everything that was ever made about it, and watch everything that was done with it. Quite simply, at the drop of a hat. And you can kind of do it now, we're about 97% there. If you know what you're doing out there, you can find just about anything that has been produced. And it's staggering. It is knee-buckling staggering, the amount of things that are out there. And that's just it. If you've got 7 billion people in the world, if that's the audience you're shooting for, you could, in theory, have 7 billion different shows. And that is something really to think about. Now, a little more realistically, here in the United States, 350 million Americans, most of which are streaming their content on demand. They got a handful of shows that they really dig. There's new stuff that's coming in all the time. Brand new programming is just popping up like wildflowers in a field. They're everywhere. And there's some real gems in there, and there's a lot of dogs too, I'll give you that. And one thing that we're starting to see, thankfully, at least as far as I'm concerned, is how reality television is just kind of, it's gone down, going away. It's run its course. It had a targeted audience. That audience has now grown up, and it didn't translate well to the people behind them or the generation behind them. It just doesn't work. So it's starting to go away. Thank God. Scripted entertainment shows still do hold a lot of validity in entertainment. The problem is you got to have good actors, got to have good script, got to have great writers, got to have all that. And if you don't have any of that, if any one part of that is weak, the whole show is going to blow. It really is. The well-produced show, the well-written show, the best scripts on the planet, but with the world's worst actors, you're still going to have garbage. And vice versa. Best actors in the world can't do anything with a shitty script. Seriously. Unless you allow them to improv. And I'll tell you something that needs to go away, and I think it's on its way out as well, because it's just they've turned to cannibals amongst themselves. I'm talking about the competitive television shows, the talent shows. America's Got Talent, The Voice, American Idol, which I think is gone. You know, those shows. The ballroom dancing thing, please. Those shows, First of all, and none of them have done this, they need to tip their hat to the great Chuck Barris. Because without Mr. Barris, you wouldn't have any of this. This man created the Gong Show. It was the ultimate talent show. Instead of having the best of the best, it was the worst of the worst. It was the beauty of it. It was brilliant television. We lost him this week, by the way, so that's why I mentioned him. Fantastic mind when it came to entertainment and television. Groundbreaking stuff. And yet nothing new came after that, because everybody gave up. Everybody quit. So instead of, you know, trying to do something different, some waterhead at a network goes, let's see here, why don't we have a talent show where we'll legitimately give the best of the talent a goofy prize, you know, we'll give them, $50,000 spread over 900 years, and we'll get them a gig at the Hard Rock for a weekend, and we'll call it America's Got Talent. And to help support this, you see, we'll get some cannon fodder, some really notoriously bad stuff that, that guy that did it over there, you know, the Gong Show guy, he kind of did that. Not one of these people, not one of these producers, not one of these networks have ever thanked that man for creating that stuff. And that's a travesty. I've been ripped off a ton as a content provider for Radio Memphis, and even with this show to a certain extent. And you just, it happens. And I know Barris knew it. I'm sure when he saw those shows, he just sat on his couch and shook his head and just, Probably tried not to think about it. I'd like to have known what he thought, but at the same time, it probably would be best if we didn't. But such as it is, those things happened. Those shows came on the air. Some of them still are on. And it's I don't know. It's television, man, network television. If you work in that industry, God damn it, boys, tighten it up. Get some real content in there. You know what? Get a hold of me. I'll help. I'd love to help you guys out. You may not like my ideas because they go against the rules. You see, the content people at the network have problems with the way you're thinking there, Mr. Cheddar. That's what you have to do. Be different, by God. Do something, I don't know. I guess it's too hard to be creative. That's the thing. You know how it is. Good stuff gets borrowed. Really good stuff gets stolen.
You can now learn guitar in a structured manner online and do it at your pace. From absolute beginners to advanced players, the New York City Guitar School can get you on the right path on guitar proficiency for less than $30 a month. Look for their banner ad at radio-memphis.com and get started today. And right now, there's even a free course called Guitar Hacks for Beginners you can take to see if this course is even right for you. Look at their ad at radio-memphis.com right now and get started.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Guys over there just patting each other on the back and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And they're all trying to lay down the biggest snow job to each other. All trying to bluff each other like it's some type of a,
well, at my station, we've increased our revenue by doing D-D-D-D.
And, you know, these other guys are all trying to outdo each other. But they sit there as though they still have the wherewithal to survive this digital environment. What I see here in this stuff, this paraphernalia that was sent to me about this organization, is the fact that they really truly are not. If they are just now addressing the issues of content and are worried about piracy, seriously, you're worried about piracy of your content when you motherfuckers were stealing all that shit all this time? It's fascinating to me about how that is.
How to watermark your stuff.
Really?
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
I guess I should be flattered by all that, quite frankly. I mean, you know, if people are ripping me off, I must be, you know, providing good stuff. Because there's been, I think I last count, not that I really gave too much about it, but it was like five different radio stations and their shows have flat out ripped us off. But, you know, go do it, fine, whatever. I'm glad I can help. I'm glad I've been a program contributor to all of these people who have apparently just given up. Just, you know, if you're in the creative works, if you're an artist, if whatever it is that you do, and you're cranking out original material, no matter what it is that you're doing, keep doing it. You know, some of the stuff may not be good. It may not be great. It may not be bad. Some of it may be very, very good. You just never know until you find it. And you keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. Sometimes it takes yourselves having to reinvent yourself and such as it is. But, you know, keep at it because it's important. It really is. And speaking of creativity, it's time to get into some music. We got a band here. You know, we've talked about this before. That there are very distinct sounds in and around Memphis, and depending on where you're at around this city or what you hear, you'll determine very, very accurately who, you know, where this band is and where they come from. And what's important is to understand that this creates the diversity of the music scene here. And keeping that in mind, got a band right here. Now, these guys are a Midtown outfit. They've been around for a while. They come together for a bit. They'll play several shows, and they'll disappear for a while. They'll come back. They'll play some other shows. And, you know, they're not big in social media. They're not big in a lot of places. But those in the know usually know where to find them, and they're well worth finding. I'm talking about a band called The Glass. These guys are very good. They have a very distinct Midtown sound as well. We featured another Midtown act some time ago. When was this? Oh, episode 161, Tiger High. Yeah, a couple of weeks back. And then we had a couple weeks before that was Shamefinger, which is also the same as Cap Gun and the Candy Company, all that stuff. But yeah, but there's Midtown sound here, and it's very unique and very cool. And one of my favorite songs that this band does, we're going to play on for you now. And here it is. The band is called The Glass. The song is called Sharks in the Sea. And here it is from Radioland. Sharks in the Sea from the band The Glass right here from Radioland. You can catch that song. It's in regular rotation at Radio Memphis. We love playing that song and love hearing from people that want to hear it. So you can call in when there's somebody sitting there and take care of all that good stuff, because that's the way it is. Speaking of which, the voice guy for this show that does the announcer bits, Mr. Joel Martin, he is finally back on the air at Radio Memphis. He starts Monday. Started Monday, March 27th, depending on when you're consuming the show. And he's back live 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. Central at Radio Memphis. He follows the Radio Memphis in the Morning show with myself. That's 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. So, yes, it's taken us a while. We meant to start the year off this way, but he had to have a bit of surgery done, and he had knocked him out for a while, and they were working on his throat, which is a scary thing for a voice guy. But he's recovered. He's back. He's doing good. We're glad to have him back on. So yeah, we actually got live jocks now, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. And on Mondays, it actually goes to midnight with other shows that Diana hosts, with the Memphis Metal Monday and Prague Time with Phil, which is also part of that thing. And on Thursdays, you've got Tundria, Gerald, Averill. They've got this other show that they do the live music hour. And of course, the Sunday night show with the Booze and Blues show. So yeah, we're expanding our programming. Got a bunch of new stuff that's coming with us. So stay tuned to Radio Memphis for more on that. There's that plug. Done got all that in there. You heard what's coming up next time. I'm done. I got to get out of here. I got things to do. We'll catch you guys next time, right? So in the meantime, take care of yourselves and take care of one another. And for the love of God, quit shooting each other, all right? I'm Rick Cheddar. And this has been from Radioland.
Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.